I'm here today for another MedCast with Ashley McPhillips. Good morning, Ashley. How are you?
Good. How are you today? Thank you for having me.
Excellent. I was hoping as cough and cold season approaches, we could talk about some over-the-counter medications for cough and cold symptoms.
Perfect. What did you have in mind?
Let's start with pseudoephedrine. What is its mechanism of action and how does it actually help relieve cough and cold symptoms?
So Sudafed actually is a vasoconstrictor. It works with the alpha adrenergic receptors in the respiratory tract mucosa, and it actually reduces swelling in the blood vessels in the nose, which helps increase airflow and drainage and help with ventilation as well. And it also stimulates the beta adrenergic receptors, which causes the bronchioles to relax.
What are some potential adverse effects of that?
So it can cause insomnia. So I always advise patients, you know, don't take it too close to bedtime. It can also cause tachycardia or high heart rate, which I know I've experienced. I can't take Sudafed because I've had heart arrhythmias several times. It can also cause you to feel, you know, dizziness or headache. So patients that have high blood pressure have to really steer clear of this medication, but those are like the major side effects to look for.
Yeah, I definitely cannot take pseudoephedrine products in sleep, so I would never take them past the morning. Are there any other warnings that are considered with pseudoephedrine products?
So you have to be careful. Patients that are on stimulants, you'd want to avoid taking it, like, you know, Adderall, Ritalin, because it can increase the risk of the heart arrhythmia, high blood pressure. Patients that are on MAOIs for like Parkinson's or depression, it's absolutely contraindicated with and cannot be taken. And then also, you know, you really have to be careful if you have high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, or if you even have a persistent cough that's associated with asthma or smoking, which could be a sign of like a more serious illness, then you would not want to take Sudafed as well.
Absolutely.
And definitely no one under the age of 12.
Absolutely, yes. In what situations do you recommend something like pseudoephedrine instead of something else?
So I would say when patients have like a really bad sinus infection and I go through their med list and they're not on anything that would interact with it, I would recommend Sudafed. Or, you know, sometimes if they have, you know, the cloggedness from like airplane flying, I would say like the 4 to 6 hour, nothing like heavy duty, you could take Sudafed. But more so just like an acute, you know, sinus infection or a cold, definitely, you know, can be coupled. If a patient has signs of infection, like that would be a sign of more severe infection. You know, if it's discolored mucus or whatnot, I would definitely refer them to a doctor. But coupled with an antibiotic, they could take the Sudafed, but not alone. I would definitely, you know, tell them that's something to look for is discolored mucus. And, you know, that's something I always try to do localized medication if possible, like Afrin for no more than 3 days, or phenylephrine spray specifically, not the tablets, because, you know, that's not really recommended anymore. But definitely don't want to recommend it for somebody that's pregnant as well. So I always, you know, ask if there's any chance of pregnancy as well, because that's something you wouldn't want to give.
Yeah, I agree. I have a lot of over-the-counter recommendations that I like a lot better than pseudoephedrine, probably because I don't like it much for myself. So I tend to recommend it less for patients because I feel like there's some better ways to manage the stuffiness and congestion than jumping right to Sudafed.
I think also like a good neti pot irrigation is something that my ear, nose, and throat doctor always recommended, you know, to clean out the congestion. So that's something that I, like you said, I wouldn't recommend Sudafed for myself. So I try to go like the other way first, but a good neti pot, as long as it's, you know, not with tap water and is used properly, is something that I also recommend because I know ENTs recommend that as well.
Similarly, I like the more hypertonic saline nasal sprays that are usually termed severe formula or allergy formula. And I really like those with some like steam from a hot shower or steam over the hot running faucet. And I think that that works really well for a lot of people. and avoids any type of medication interactions. How can you effectively counsel patients on the proper use and administration of these behind-the-counter products that contain pseudoephedrine?
So I think, first of all, getting like the med list, making sure they're not on anything dangerous that would interact. Then making sure that they take the lowest effective dose and that they know, you know, if it gets to the point where they can't breathe or, like I said, signs of infection, that they refer to the doctor. But also, this is something that they need to know what to look for. Like if they have an allergic reaction, or if they get the heart palpitations, that they should stop it immediately. You know, knowing what to look for, or dizziness. That way they know, you know, when it's not working effectively and it's actually harming them.
I find that a lot of the patients that come and ask me about cough and cold products, and even more specifically pseudoephedrine, is often patients that don't necessarily have prescriptions at my pharmacy and might have them somewhere else. In those situations, how do you identify their potential drug interactions?
So I think just, you know, asking them what they're on, or if they don't know what they're on, offering to call that pharmacy to make I always say I want to make the safest recommendation possible for you. So if they give me like the pharmacy that they typically use, then I'll call and just make sure. Most patients can, you know, identify, even sometimes with the language barrier, you know, the simple things like high blood pressure or diabetes or thyroid problems, like they can, you know, say, yes, I have those issues. But even just taking that next step to reach out to the local pharmacy, or if they're not sure, offering, you know, to call a family member as well, or if they're with somebody, if they know. But I think that's crucial for the safe and effective care.
I think that's really great customer service and great patient care to be able to call the other pharmacy. We really do want to make the safest recommendations. So sometimes I just avoid pseudoephedrine because I don't have enough information to make a recommendation that would be a safe product.
Yep. So always picking like a localized, you know, nasal spray or something like that also. And I think it's also important to recognize when pseudoephedrine is necessary. Like it's more so, in my opinion, either if someone has severe allergies or an acute situation, but if they're having allergy symptoms, it could be something as simple as giving them Flonase or another nasal steroid over the counter that could solve their problem and not pose, you know, side effect risk. So a lot of times it's just differentiating, are you actually having like cold symptoms, or is this just allergies that can be treated with an oral antihistamine and a nasal steroid?
Very true. The other product I really like now that it's over the counter is Astepro. I have a lot of patients who will tell me that they've tried a nasal steroid, they've tried tablets, they've tried Sudafed, they've tried Claritin, they've tried all of these different things, and they're so frustrated. And I've had quite a few come back and be like, that was magic, that worked so well for me. So I love that now it's over the counter and we have some ability to recommend it for patients without a prescription. Mm-hmm. How can pharmacists help patients differentiate between mild and severe symptoms? And at what point do we recommend that they seek further medical attention?
So I think mild symptoms is when it's not interfering with the patient's ability to function day to day. Also, you know, if it's something that isn't keeping them up at night, like those are some telltale signs where it, you know, would be more severe. When it, you know, is interfering with their breathing or there's discolored mucus, like those types of things would be seek a doctor. Or when they're trying over-the-counter medications, including Sudafed, and it's not getting better no matter what they take. You know, they're ingesting NSAIDs and things that can cause damage to kidney or liver on a regular basis, and there's no relief, then there could be something else going on. So if it's something that's constant, you know, most days of the week, I like to say, and there's no relief from anything, then they really want to get tested from their doctor to make sure there's not something else underlying going on.
Perfect. I like to mention that if they have a consistent fever beyond a few days, that it's probably something more serious than a cold. We don't typically see a fever with a cold, especially in an adult. And also to make sure that I like to talk about how the Sudafed only works for 4 to 6 hours. So it is going to wear off. The congestion is going to come back after 4 to 6 hours, and that's to be expected. It doesn't necessarily mean that the pseudoephedrine isn't working for them. It means it's time for another dose, and it will take a couple of days before that cold symptom is going to go away entirely, anyways. Do you find that patients have a lot of misconceptions or concerns about pseudoephedrine because it is in the pharmacy and not out on the shelf in the store?
I think sometimes because it's behind the pharmacy counter, obviously there's the cards that are out in the aisle that will signify, bring the card to the pharmacy. But for those patients, especially those that aren't from the area, they might think because it's behind the counter that it needs a prescription, which isn't necessarily the case, but it obviously needs USID because it is, regulated. But also because it's behind the pharmacy counter, I feel like they might think that it's harmful or has like abuse potential because it's regulated behind the counter by the pharmacy. It's something where it's just an education point. It's something that is regulated. We do, have to keep an eye on the inventory, but if used properly and only as needed, I make it very clear this doesn't mean you have to take it every day around the clock. It's just as needed with your symptoms, that it can be safely used on your own, without the supervision of the doctor, doesn't need a prescription. So I think those are just two things in general when you think behind the counter, that those are things that might pop into patients' head. But that's a very simple education counseling point that can be easily rectified.
I feel like when patients come to the pharmacy and I do recommend a pseudoephedrine product that's behind the counter and I'm pointing it out to them, that they're a little leery of my recommendation because they can't just access it themselves and that maybe it is like a secret. And I tell them that it's nothing all that special. It's just because it's regulated by the government, but that it does work well in a number of situations and that it is a safe product for them to use because we've already had a conversation about what potential interactions it might have or potential harm it might cause them. And we've determined that it might be a really good option for them. It's rather inexpensive as well, compared to a lot of other products that you can buy over the counter. I think it's also just inconvenient for patients to access it from the pharmacy. I work in a 24-hour pharmacy, so there it's available 24 hours a day, but that's not the same in so many areas of the country.
Yeah. I think another, like a side note, a really important counseling point to patients that are purchasing Sudafed are when they purchase like the Advil cold and sinus or Aleve cold and sinus or Tylenol cold and sinus, that they're not duplicating with the products that are over the counter, like Tylenol, Aleve, ibuprofen. They might not realize that what they're already taking has duplicate ingredients. And then you have to worry about NSAIDs and stomach bleeding. So there's like when it comes to the stomach, when it comes to the combo products, you really need to, make sure they're not on other medications, but make sure that, we're eliminating that they have any underlying like liver disease, kidney disease, diabetes, anything that could harm them by having that combo product.
You already know that I don't typically recommend combo products, but
Yes.
I typically don't recommend those either. I do like to keep them separate, and I think that there's definitely an argument to be made that you don't need to take ibuprofen with Sudafed, and you could do one or the other, or you could have them on a totally different schedule based on when you're having symptoms. Maybe your congestion is really terrible in the morning, but you're not sleeping well from the cough and cold, and you'd like to take the ibuprofen at bedtime without the Sudafed. So I think just recommending the products individual of each other is the safest option for most patients. I'm not exactly looking forward to cough and cold season, but it's just around the
Yes.
corner. Thank you so much for talking about pseudoephedrine with me today, though, and I hope that we can talk some more soon.
Thank you. I look forward to the next topic that we can discuss to help better protect our communities and share our knowledge.